We will turn again in the scriptures to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. I want to take words from the verses 49 and 50 as our text this morning. Luke chapter 8 and the verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. Let us ask the Lord to speak to our hearts through his truth here this morning. Let us each pray. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for its reliability. We thank thee for its applicability. And Lord, we pray that your holy truth will be understood by us, but it will be applied to our own individual lives. Oh, grant help then from above, we pray. Give that enablement of the Holy Spirit of God, we ask, in our Lord's great name. Amen. Amen. There is a great theme that unites all of the miracles in the last part of Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and that is, do not be afraid, rather, believe. So when we think back to the account of the disciples on the ship in the midst of the storm, they were afraid, but the Lord was showing them in his miracle that they needed not to have been afraid, but rather they ought to have believed. The account of the madman of Gadara that we looked at last week, and Christ was showing in that miracle that he is able to drive out what causes fear. And the presence of the demons in that man had brought great fear upon that community. In the epistle of 1 John chapter 4, it says, Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And certainly there was a community in torment, and the Lord cast out that which brought fear, though of course the community sadly didn't heed the lesson that the Lord was teaching, that they ought to have believed in the one that cast out those demons. And then we read earlier the account of the woman with the issue of blood. This continual flow of blood, as she came in fear and trembling. And yet, despite her fears, she had enough faith to reach out and to lay hold of Christ's clothing. Surely that great miracle then was teaching her, do not be afraid, believe. And then we come to the account of Jairus at the end of the verse 50. And Jesus says to Jairus, Fear not, believe only. Fear not, believe only. And in these various accounts then, we see that in our daily lives, and in the life of the Christian as well as the rest of society, we face various problems. There is the opposition of nature, as demonstrated in that storm. There is the opposition that the Christian keenly feels, the opposition of hell, the opposition of Satan, as illustrated in Gadara. The opposition of sickness, which we see in that woman who had suffered for 12 long years with this continual loss of blood, and then the opposition of death, the death of this little 12-year-old girl, the only daughter of Jairus. And we are reminded then in these incidents that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world of suffering. And we will encounter many things that would naturally cause us to fear. But God's word in this chapter is, do not be afraid. Believe. Do not be afraid. Only believe. We are to face various problems. As God's people, we are to face them with faith in God. And surely the lesson for those that are not yet converted is this. How can you face these problems without God? And how would you dare face the greatest enemy of all, death and the judgment, without God? And so it's an amazing thing that you would try to face these challenges without God, but how are you willing to face death and the judgment without God and His salvation? You must come to believe. You must come to rest upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we think of these four miracles, these four incidents. One of them enough, ought to have been enough to teach us have faith in God. Yet we needed all four. And even though we have all four, yet still we tend to be afraid. Still, we do not take on board what the Lord is teaching us here in this chapter. Now, in the case of Jairus, these words, don't be afraid, only believe, they were spoken to him after the most unworthy words were spoken about our Lord Jesus. In verse 49, while Jesus was speaking to the woman with this issue of blood, or had now been delivered from the issue of blood, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, that is, come from Jairus' house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Trouble not the master. What terrible words were appended to that message. For the assumption of the messenger was this, that Jesus was frustrated with Jairus. And Jairus' continuous call, come to my house, my daughter is so ill. The servant interpreted that as frustrating Jesus. There was a terrible insinuation that Jesus just wishes that you would stop pestering him. That Jesus would prefer that you would just go away and stop making this request. The Greek word that's translated here, trouble, actually comes from a word that has to do with flaying, the cruel tearing away of skin. And so it came to have the idea then of harassing. Stop harassing the master. Even stop causing him inner distress. But all of that was an absolute mischaracterization of Christ. Our Lord is never disturbed by those that continually come and cry to him for help. The Lord is never harassed by those that are continually pleading with the Lord to come to their case. There was this terrible insinuation, a mischaracterization of Christ, and the messenger really was saying, all hope is now gone. But while one messenger was saying, all hope is gone, the Lord said to Jairus, fear not, don't be afraid, believe only. And you and I daily face many challenges to our faith. Daily we are confronted by things that would cause us to be afraid, that would cause us to be disturbed. Perhaps even there are things that confront us and we wonder, is the Lord even concerned about what I'm going through? Here is a message of encouragement, I trust, to every Christian. Fear not, only believe. And so I want us to consider then the subject, faith in the face of opposition. And I want to consider, first of all, with you, faith's discernment. For in these verses 49 and 50, in light of them, I should say, in light of verses 49 and 50, Jairus was faced with a dilemma. He was going to have to choose which messenger to heed. And so on one hand, the messenger from his house was saying, Jairus, be in despair. Jairus, all hope is gone. No longer put any confidence in what that master can do. On the other hand, Jesus was saying, don't stop believing. Keep asking for help. Keep trusting. If we look at it this way, the servant, unintentionally, we assume, but the servant was the spokesperson of Satan. Christ, of course, was the spokesperson of heaven. And so there's the spokesperson of hell and Satan saying, give up, don't believe. But then on the other hand, we have heaven saying, keep holding on, do not despair, do not be afraid. And so there are these two different messages. The message of falsehood and the message of truth. And so Jairus had this issue presented before him. You will have to discern which message you're going to rest upon, which one you're going to believe. Now we, of course, know that he ought to believe our Lord Jesus. And yet, each one of us here today encounter this reality day by day. We encounter messengers who are, in fact, the messengers of hell. Now that could be even our own flesh, our own sinful desires. But there are these voices, as it were, these thoughts that come to our mind. All hope is gone. Why would you still cry out unto God? But on the other hand, heaven, as it were, is saying to us in all of our troubles and trials, believe, have faith in God. And so it may be the issue of unconverted grown children. What would the devil say to a father and mother who are anxious over grown children that are far away from the Lord? The devil would say, give up. The devil would say, no longer hope. It's too late. The Word of God gives us every warrant to expect the salvation of our children. The Word of God gives us every warrant to believe that the seed that has been sown would take root. And so here is this challenge. Which voice are you going to heed? Or it might be the issue of your financial future. And some voices are saying, here are the procedures that you must follow in order to gain financial security. And I'm sure that much of the advice that they give in that respect is absolutely good to follow to a large degree. But you can't put your trust in it. You can't make your bank account your confidence for your future. In that way, that is the messenger of hell. Our confidence has to be in the Lord only. That no matter what circumstances I face, no matter how little or how much is in my bank account, I can commit my future to the Lord. Or in our day, as we face various moral situations, and increasingly we are going to face pressure, will you accept the world's ideology? Will you accept the world's thinking on identity? Will you accept the world's thinking on gender fluidity? And so you're invited to a wedding that is not a wedding at all in the biblical sense of that term. It's a celebration of sin. There's been a lot of talk about that issue recently in Christian circles, hasn't there? And the devil would say, you don't want to offend. The devil would say, going along to that doesn't mean that you're endorsing it. Of course, the Word of God would suggest something rather different. You cannot support that which God's Word condemns. Or perhaps wearing purple on Purple Day, Satan says, go along with it. It doesn't really mean anything. But again, can you call what God calls evil good? And so in our day, there's much advice. And there's much advice in the religious world, even in the evangelical world, that is completely contrary to the instruction of God. And like Jairus then, we have this conflicting advice. And here is what I've called faith discernment, where you have to get before God and ask, which really is the truth? Which advice truly must I follow? We must have this determination that we will have our counsel from the faithful Word of God. Much of the bad advice that arises in the religious world today, it arises from a wrong view of the authority of Scripture. And so if you don't believe that the Word of God is entirely reliable, well, it's easy to get around then those passages that you don't want to challenge you. Or if you have a wrong view of what the gospel is the gospel I'm to respect people? Or is the gospel a message that transforms people? That will radically affect the type of advice that we are prone to heed. But then there are voices in another sense. The voice of providence, the voice in circumstances. And we'll see more of this in a moment or two. But you think of how it was for Jairus. His daughter was so ill. And now he hears the message, your daughter is dead. It would be easy for him to conclude, wouldn't it, that all is against me. That even providence is telling me there's no longer any cause for hope. I don't know who first used these words, but certainly A.W. Pink often used them in his writings. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. And even in the face then of the most difficult challenges, we need this great discernment. What message am I to believe? What message am I to trust? Jairus then was right to hold on to these words of Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid, only believe. I'm sure Jairus wasn't able to fully obey those words? Which of us ever have? Did Jairus dismiss all fears? Was his faith absolutely perfect? I'm sure it wasn't. But yet, even in trembling faith, let us hold on to the word of our God. When there's this discernment, there are things that must be rejected. The message of the messenger had to be refused. I cannot heed the implication of what the messenger was saying. In 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, it speaks of the children of Issachar. They were men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And is that not our great need in this day? We need understanding of the times to know what we ought to do. We need, in a certain sense, to understand what is going on around us. Not that we need to be consumed with study of it. It doesn't take much study to know what's going on around us. We certainly need to be aware of the pitfalls in the religious world around us. Understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And just before we move on, could I speak to the unconverted? And for you, there are also two messengers. Isn't it the case that one messenger is saying to the unconverted one, you have plenty of time, or there is no judgment? If God is a God of love, how could he ever judge sin? And so the message of the world is ignore the gospel. Yet God's command to you today is repent and believe the gospel. Stake your soul on the person and work of Christ. Stake your soul upon the fact that there was one who was willing to bear away the guilt of the sinner. Which messenger will you heed? Oh, that you would heed the truth of the Word of God, that you would come to Christ. Faith's discernment. I want to see then, secondly, with you, faith's persistence. Faith's persistence. The servant, in effect, was saying, Jairus, give up. And Christ, in effect, was saying, Jairus, hold on. Don't give up. Remember, the whole background here was our Lord had been on the other side of the lake. And the people of Gadara had said to Jesus, please leave us. They had pleaded with the Lord to go away. Now, I suspect Jairus would have been saddened when he heard the report of what the people of Gadara had said. And yet, I'm sure in another sense, providentially, he could see mercy in it. Because while the people of Gadara had despised Jesus, that he had arrived back, as it seemed at that moment, in time to preserve the life of his daughter. And so the Gadarenes had said, leave us. But Jesus had come back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he was there right at the time when Jairus could come and call upon him to come to his house. And so here seemed an opportunity. But then, while Jesus began to come with Jairus, there were obstacles. A crowd was thronging round our Lord Jesus. And they were certainly, seemingly, hindering Jesus from getting to Jairus' house quickly. And then Jesus stopped after a woman touched Jesus' clothing. Now, if you think about this from Jairus' point of view, Jairus was longing for Jesus to get to his house as soon as possible. In his mind, he was saying to Jesus, "We don't have a moment to lose." And so in the midst of all of this pushing and thronging crowd, Jesus stops and he asks the question, "Who touched me?" Now the gospel writers, they record for us how the disciples were saying to Jesus, "You say, who touched me? How could you not be touched? Because there's so many people pushing and shoving." And you think about it, how it was for Jairus, he must have been thinking, exactly so. Come on. And what does Jesus do? He says, "But no, there was someone who very intentionally touched me." And he stops to address the lady. She comes trembling. And he gives her time to explain her story. And you think all the time Jairus is saying, "Come on, Jesus, just come on. Perhaps you could talk to her later." And Jesus says to her, "Go in faith and be of good comfort." Verse 48, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now those words were not just for the woman. They were also for Jairus. Jairus heard Jesus say, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. You're better. You're healed." And this was the very thing that Jairus was longing for his daughter. "I long that my daughter would be made whole." And then there comes this messenger, in effect, saying it's too late. But what does Jesus say? "Fear not, believe only. She shall be made whole." You've been thinking about this very word, made whole, made well, and for a moment you've thought it's impossible now. She's dead. But the Lord says, "No, you keep believing. She shall be made whole." Now, why was it then that the Lord in his providence permitted the crowd? Why was it in the Lord's providence that the Lord would have it so ordered that that would be the day that the woman would take hold of Jesus' clothes when Jairus was in such a rush? Because there was a lesson the Lord had to teach to Jairus. The Lord had to teach Jairus to patiently wait. That while, yes, we're in a hurry, the Lord is not always in a hurry. And the Lord would have us to learn that we need that holy resolve. We need this faith's persistence. Do not give up. And then even after Jesus had spoken these words, "Jairus, believe, she shall be made whole," he took Peter, James, and John, and Jairus and his wife, and they go into the place where the dead body of the girl is. But evidently, the professional mourners are there. They're weeping. Verse 52, "All wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn." And so Jesus has to put them out. Close out those that would hinder your belief. Close out those voices that would hinder your resolve. Jairus, keep on believing. So it's something very similar to that when that time when the Canaanite woman was so concerned over her daughter that was possessed. And the Lord tested the resolve of that Canaanite woman. At first, Matthew's Gospel 15:23 says, "Jesus answered her not a word." And so here she is, she's coming and she's pleading, "Jesus, help me.
come and heal my daughter. And Jesus just seems to ignore her. And then there was another test, because the disciples, they say to Jesus, send that woman away.
But she still keeps pleading. Then Jesus says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so at first hearing, it sounded like Jesus was saying, I haven't come for people like you. You're a Canaanite. I have come for Israelites. That's how it sounded. And then Jesus said, it's not meeting, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. You're like a dog, you're a Gentile. And here were these four tests. But the woman still holds on. She says, yes, Lord, you're right. I am a dog. But the dogs don't need the full slices of bread. They get the crumbs that fall from the table. And you have enough strength, even in the crumbs, to help my little daughter. Perhaps you've been pleading with the Lord over a long time, and the Lord hasn't yet answered your prayer. Or at least so it seems. Perhaps the Lord is strengthening your faith, showing you there has to be this persistence, this resolve. In 1844, George Mueller began to pray for five individuals, five friends, that they would be converted. He prayed for 18 months before the first of those men was converted. For 6 years. And then the second was converted. Another 6 years before the third was converted. He died, and still two of those men were not converted, but history records how sometime after his death the other two were brought unto the Lord. Remember how our Lord said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You're to keep praying. Keep pleading, keep beseeching, don't give up. Faith's persistence. But I want to see with you finally faith's reliance. You see, so often when it comes to the issue of faith, we're looking inwardly. And this passage, like the continuous testimony of Scripture, exhorts us to see faith's object, that our faith is grounded in Christ. And the Lord would have us not to look at ourselves and say, well, I'm doing a little bit better, but rather look up and say, how great is the one my faith is in. Even when my faith is weak, I have a great and faithful Savior. And in this account of Jairus, God stripped away from Jairus every other reliance. And so you think of as Jairus left that home, and he was thinking, my daughter is so sick, her life, as it were, is hanging by a thread. But at least there is a thread. At least there's a little bit of hope. And so as the servant comes and says, your daughter is dead, it seemed the thread was broken. All hope is gone. But no, it wasn't. Because his hope, you see, was not to be in the thread. His hope was to be in the power of God. And the Lord, as it were, then would at times strip away everything that we put our confidence in. And so maybe we can put our confidence in our job security. And so I'm set up for the future because this job really is secure. And suddenly the Lord would pull that away from us. Or maybe our finances, and suddenly the finances aren't there. Or our health, and suddenly the good health isn't there anymore. The Lord strips away those things that we might see what we are really to rely upon. On Friday night with the young people, we were reading in Genesis 32, where Jacob was planning to meet his brother Esau. And Jacob was afraid. And we can understand why he was afraid. And Jacob thought, if only I can appease Esau. And so I'll have all of these gifts. And then he was thinking, I'll put my family in front of me. So they all go in front. But we read these beautiful words in Genesis 32:24. Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. And Moses is showing us there that Jacob was being challenged. Where really is your confidence? Where really is your trust? And we read the account then of how Jacob wrestled with a man. Jacob at first didn't realize who the man was. The man was a manifestation of Christ in the Old Testament. For he later says, I saw the face of God and yet I lived. He called the place Peniel. The man was God in flesh. It's our Lord Jesus Christ appearing in the Old Testament. Now, sometimes preachers take that scene and they preach it as man wrestling with God in prayer. Now, that sounds very good, but that's not actually what happened that night. What happened that night was Jacob was wrestling against God. Jacob was saying, I will have it my way. I can do it. I can manage. And so all night he struggles on against the man. And we're Jacob. We think that we can make it. We think the things that we have organized and planned, that they will be successful. And all the time we're wrestling against the Lord, and we don't know it. But praise God, that passage speaks of how the Lord then touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. The thigh was out of joint. Jacob couldn't fight anymore. What could he do now? He could cling. He couldn't fight, he couldn't wrestle, but he could hold on. That's what he ought to have been doing all along. And it was then that God said, Jacob, you're not just Jacob anymore. You're Israel, Prince with God. And dear believer, sometimes the Lord has to take his finger and put it on our thigh. Sometimes the Lord has to remove those things that we have been resting upon in order that we would be truly humbled and that we would say what we always should have been saying, my confidence is in the Lord only. May that be our reply today to this passage. I hold on. Help me not to be afraid. Help me rather to believe. I mentioned in the introduction that terrible insinuation that the servant had made. Your troubles are troubling Christ. And the insinuation was absolutely wrong. And yet the scripture does speak of a matter that did trouble Christ. John 12, verse 27, our Lord Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say?" And we're not left in doubt as to what the Lord's soul was troubled over. For he goes on to speak of a time, an hour. "Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." And just a few verses before in John 12, 24, the Lord Jesus spoke of a corn of wheat. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And the Lord there was not just speaking about farming. And of course, it's true farming. That's why the Lord used the illustration. The farmer holding the seed in his hand, nothing will happen until he puts that seed into the ground. It begins to decay, but then it germinates. And Christ was the corn of wheat. He had to, as it were, fall into the ground. He had to endure the curse. He had to die in order to bring forth fruit. It was that that troubled our Lord as he saw the awfulness of what he would endure on Calvary. And so in one sense, his humanity was crying out, "Spare me from that." And yet he said, "For this cause I came, for this cause came I unto this hour." What was it that troubled our Lord? The horror of what he would endure to save a soul. And as the Lord saw that horror, he didn't flee. He went the whole way to the garden. He went the whole way to the trial. He went the whole way to the cross to save sinful souls like you and I. And on that basis, the Lord is never troubled by our troubles. The greatest trouble that you have ever had is the trouble of your sin, guilt. And that's not too hard for the Lord to fix. He has endured the horror of what it took to save. And thereby, if the Lord has been able to deal with the awfulness of your guilt and the curse that hung over you, he is able to deal, dear believer, with your daily trials and burdens. Praise God for those that are in the meeting without Christ. Here is hope for you today. Christ endured all that was needed to save a sinner like you. Will you come to him? Or will you go on in hardened unbelief? Fear not what the crowd will say. Fear not the trials of living for God. Fear not. Believe only, and you shall be made whole. We trust the Lord will take his word today and write it upon all of our hearts. Amen. Amen. We'll sing some words of the hymn 222. 222. "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power and Even we who are the Lord's, we come afresh, poor and needy. The Lord is able, the Lord is willing, doubt no more. We'll sing the verses 1 and 6, the verses 1 and 6 as we stand in closing, remaining standing for closing prayer and the benediction. Thank you.
Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you. Love, pity, love and power, He is able, He is able. No more, He is able, He is able, He is willing, doubt no more.
Verse 6.
Lo, the incarnate God ascended, venture on Him. Venture wholly, let none trust in truth. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. None but Jesus, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good.
Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for the voice of God ministering to us through Thy truth today. And we thank Thee for the challenge of Thy word and yet the great comfort in it. Seal Thy word to every heart then, we do pray. O Lord, strengthen our resolve in the face of everything that would testify against us and against God. We pray, Lord, that our reliance will be solely upon our great Lord. We thank Thee for the refreshments. Bless them to us and our fellowship together. Bless the Sunday school and adult class that will follow minister in that season. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.